Here's this week's casting call. Madcow Theater is casting one mature male actor for the role of Gary Essendine in Present Laughter by Noel Coward. Interested actors should submit a picture and resume via email or regular mail. Melbourne Civic Theater announces auditions for The Eight Reindeer Monologues, a comedy about Santa's secret side. Auditions are Sunday and Monday at 7. Gallery One Artists has put out a call to artists for Artorama. It's a one-day workshop and demonstration in downtown Kissimmee on October 21st. The Orlando Fringe Theater Festival is accepting applications through November 1st, and November 1st is also the deadline for the Women Playwrights Initiative annual script competition. It's open to women writers in 9 southern states. Details for the other opportunity pages of WMFE.org. Just follow the link for the casting. It's membership time here at 90.7, and we're asking you to consider a pledge in any amount to support all the programs you hear and that you enjoy each and every week. That could be the Arts Connection, it could be classical music, it could be the news and information, or it could be things like Car Talk and Garrison Keillor and Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Whatever you value in public radio, we hope that you will support it. Call 1-800-785-2020.
This, I Believe, is a collection of radio essays on personal philosophies and values. This series on NPR News has inspired all of us to explore what we believe. Now you can hear them again, or read them again, when you become a new or renewing member of 90.7. With a membership of $90, we'll send you a CD of This, I Believe, with 10 essays and an introduction by producer Jay Allison. The book features 80 essays for a pledge of $75, or ask for both when you support 90.7 programs at the $150 level. Call 1-800-785-2020 and ask for This, I Believe, or pledge online at WMFE.org.
Scholars tell us that after the Spanish, Florida's frontier was settled by a hardy group of immigrants, many of Scots descent, the ancestors of the folks we call Crackers. Bill Dudley looks at the music that reflects the history and values of this unique people.
I grew up playing music and listening to music, most of square dance tunes and stuff like that that we'd play. One thing you don't see this day and age is a piano and fiddle together.
Central Florida singer-songwriter Frank Thomas remembers growing up in a rural area in the northern part of the state.
Anybody had a piano in their house, well, they'd all bunch up there and have a doings and fiddling and piano together. It was quite a sound.
Back in the 20s and 30s when they would have barn dances, every weekend, big dance. And the music that was being played in there before Hank Williams and before the Nashville crooners came out was cracker music, and that's what they called it. And it was a term of endearment.
Pete Gallagher, a freelance writer based in St. Petersburg, explains that many native Floridians grew up living the life of a Florida cracker, one who is close to the land and for whom old times are not forgotten. Although the word can be a derogatory term, many crackers themselves claim a lineage from the earliest English-speaking settlers who migrated south at the start of the 19th century.
It's different values, and yeah, we got a little different mentality on things. And if you think about it, I think you can go all the way back to Europe with that, with the Celts. I think they pretty much settled in the south, and the English pretty much settled in the north. They wanted fences and they wanted to paint their houses and all that. The Celts come on down in the south and let the cattle run free out, you know, and they wanted to party and have fun, and they didn't paint their houses, and it's just a different lifestyle. It's rare that you're going to see a cracker out running with nothing after him, you know, just to run. But you'll see that, you know, a lot of people from up north, they'll do that. They'll come down here and they'll run and carry on like that.
They started their migration before the 1800s. They were an independent breed, tough and resourceful, living off the land. And this Florida sand would fill their needs. To his hardships, they paid little heed.
Today's cracker music is being written by people like Frank Thomas, who many consider the last of a generation of Florida songwriters that included Gamble Rogers, Don Grooms, and Will McLean. But he's not the only one to celebrate the life ways and the values of another time. Tampa songwriter Bobby Hicks has spent the last 25 years singing about Florida, its people, and the traditions they represent.
They never had too much, but they always found enough. Never gave much thought to how rough times were. 'Cause it's easy to be proud when you're a cracker. Something deep inside you helps you find your way.
Our ancestors didn't play cracker music. They played like old-time string band and whatever entertainment there was. Cracker music is where the crackers now play music to honor the memory and the history and our respective heritage as crackers. So it's really our songs basically are trying to honor our forefathers.
I'll never forget one day we were playing and one of the guys in the back hollered, "Do something with it," and I'll never forget that.
North Florida singer-songwriter Whitey Markle.
Don't just go out in public and sing it. Tell people what to do with it. Why are you doing it? You know, what can be done from here? So that's what I try to do in my music. I try to do something with it. Tell people what the culture is and that we're proud of it and how to use the culture. How to be a cracker, I guess you'd say.
Feet start to jumping up and down and comes out the cracker stone. Hey, hey, the cracker stone.
Markle says he enjoys living in the woods south of Gainesville. But like the others, he laments the lifestyle changes that are part of a rapidly growing Florida.
Well, you know, one thing that I think about when I think about a cracker man or a cracker woman is courtesy and honesty. It's something that's rapidly disappearing. Me first is what's going on today. That's what I see. And respect for that other guy's wishes, do unto others. Why is that guy living there the way he's living? Well, it's because he wants to be living that way. Don't be banging on him. That's his trip. Respect for the neighbor is something that's disappearing.
Perhaps modern-day cracker music is more an attitude than a type, written to be sung on the porch rather than the stage, a throwback to a working life in the open air and the Florida sun.
I could take Frank Thomas' song and have someone else sing it, and it wouldn't come out the same way. You wouldn't have that deep Bull Gator attitude and voice that Frank has, or that Bobby Hicks guttural from the earth voice for the music.
I think you got a genre of music now that's you might want to call Florida music. I don't know if it's just strictly cracker or not, but it's a lot of people are writing songs that are about Florida. And, you know, a lot of us are crackers and write about crackers.
And though our numbers may be few, there are still one or two who can still crack a cow whip real loud, working the land their great-grandfathers plowed.
I'm Bill Dudley. With funding from the Florida Department of State Division of Cultural Affairs, this report was produced by the Florida Humanities Council. Visit us on the web at flahum.org.
Vivaldi's Autumn Concerto will be performed by the Orlando Philharmonic in their first Focus Series concert. One of the venues they'll present it is in Oviedo. The St. Luke's Lutheran Church has had a concert series for 13 years, and it's grown tremendously. They've gone from 3 or 4 concerts with attendance around 300 to 9 concerts with an average of 800 people. But last Christmas, when the Brass Band of Central Florida performed, 1,600 people showed up.
It might be a little bit too strong to say we're a victim of our own success, but certainly the growth of the concert series has had an impact on the way we produce the series.
Judy Duda is the founder of the concert series at St. Luke's Lutheran, and to avoid the same problem this Christmas, the brass band is performing both a matinee and an evening concert. The concert series provides an outlet for the arts in Seminole County, and they often bring in groups that normally play in downtown Orlando, like the Philharmonic. All of their concerts are free, so it's an opportunity to share high-quality music with your entire family. This Sunday's performance by the OPO is called the seasons.
Our affiliation with the Orlando Philharmonic Orchestra goes back a few years now, and it's been a great blessing for us, and I think I could safely say for them as well, because it enhances their presence in Seminole County. It brings the Orlando Philharmonic Orchestra out to the hinterlands where they've wanted to be known for a long time. So because of our schedule, which allows us only one concert per month, we had to be picky-choosy about schedules, and we chose to reproduce, I guess you'd say, the Focus Series Concerts 1 and 4. So the first one we're doing with Orlando Philharmonic this year is October 15th. We're presenting it on a Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock. We think it's a great way to spend an autumn afternoon. In that concert, there will be the works of Haydn and Vivaldi and Beethoven. We just think it's going to be a pleasant afternoon and experience for everyone who attends.
Judy Duda, director of the concert series at St. Luke's Lutheran Church in Oviedo. Christopher Wilkins will conduct this OPO Focus Series concert that includes Vivaldi's Autumn Concerto and other seasonal works. Again, it's Sunday at 4. Next month, St. Luke's will present the first of two concerts in their series by the UCF Symphony. The Brass Band of Central Florida returns in December for two holiday concerts, and other performances will feature the Orlando Concert Band and violinist Diaco Yonatani. All concerts are free. The church is on a loma just south of the intersection of Redbug Lake Road. For information, call 407-365-3408. We're here at Urban Think Bookstore with our poetry producer for the Arts Connection, Sarah Schlossman. And Sarah, I have to admit that one of my favorite interviews of yours, which it turns out was one of your favorites as well, was with Terry Ann Thaxton, who teaches out at UCF. Tell us why she was one of your favorites.
Terry's is the kind of work that, on the surface, there's that level, but if you spend just that extra beat of a moment with it, you will see that she has this way of unveiling the fragility of relationships, the flaws in some characters, and there's a way that she handles abuse, emotional and physical, that doesn't jump out at you at the surface. It's something that is so delicately handled that when you realize what it is that you're reading, your skin gets that goosebump of, oh my God, this is something other than what it seems. And that's what I like about Terry. She's not trying to blow something up in your face. She wants you to peel something back layer by layer by layer, or at least look at what she has peeled back for you. And if you see it, you will be surprised.
One thing that stands out from that interview you did with her is when you asked her why she became a writer, and she revealed something in her background that I found surprising, an upbringing where she really wasn't even allowed to have books.
She was sneaking great literature the way other kids would sneak comic books or pornography.
I grew up not being allowed to read, so I didn't have anything to read growing up except the Bible. And when I started college at age 28 and I took Comp 1, I started reading, and we were reading Steinbeck and Hemingway and all of the classics. And then I got to Comp 2 and we read Sylvia Plath's poem Daddy. And I thought, I want to try that. And it gave me a way to describe what it means to be human, what it means to be me.
That kind of hit me like a ton of bricks, too. You never know what is sitting across from you behind the pair of eyes that are looking into yours. And Terry was very revealing in that. One of the things that has been very helpful for me is I have gotten over the intrusiveness of the microphone. And once I got over that, since I am the one holding it, I do my best to get my peers who are sitting across from me to forget about the microphone too. And we basically are eyeball to eyeball having a conversation about something that we are both passionate about, and we're both passionate about writing. So then the microphone disappears and we're basically two people chatting about what we really like to do and read. So I hope that comes across.
Listeners have benefited from Sarah's conversations with local writers, getting a glimpse into the human and very personal side of our arts community. That's part of what makes public radio distinctive, but it needs your support to thrive. Please call and support all of 90.7's programming, 1-800-785-2020, and thanks. That's our program for this weekend. Thank you so much for listening. And I also ask you to consider making a pledge to support this kind of programming. The Arts Connection is truly a unique venture for any station, whether it's TV or radio, commercial or nonprofit. Very few stations devote an entire hour to arts and culture, but you have that here in Central Florida. We ask you to support this program and all the fine offerings on public radio by making a call to 1-800-785-2020 or pledge online to WMFE.org. I'm Becky Morgan. Join us again next week. We'll have more season previews for you. Thanks for listening.